2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you have your New Testament this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Permit me just to add a word concerning that open door to which Mr. Loveland referred a moment or two ago. Many of you know we're on and have been on every day on the Boca Raton radio station, WWOG, for about a year and a half. The new challenge concerns a local outlet. Not one down in Boca Raton. It concerns the Palm Beach station. Now, Palm Beach has two stations, an FM and an AM. WWOS is 100,000 watt FM. WQXC is an AM station. And what their proposal is to put the program on both stations at the same time. FM, AM. At the same time that it goes out over Boca Raton station, which is WWOG, by the way. Now, we're not thinking about that at all. That one down there. We're thinking about, should we accept the opportunity of going on the local station on both those local stations at the same time? WWOS, FM, WQXC, AM. And it's this that we're talking about this morning. It's more expensive than the one down below at Boca Raton. And so we're just wondering if this is an open door from the Lord or not. We don't know whether to say no, thank you, or, well, thank you. So we would like to take you into our confidence. Beloved, we do not beg for money on the radio. We don't believe in that. You don't believe in that. You don't want us to do that, do you? You want us to become beggars and ask the world and to come and help the work of the Lord? That's why we like to take you as believers into our confidence. We share everything we do here with you folk who drop in on a Sunday morning. We love to have you, and we like to share these things with you. But this is an appeal particularly to those of you who are saved by the grace of God. You know Christ is your Savior. We want your reaction. Are you with us in this? If not, we'll just forget it and tell them over there in Palm Beach we're not interested, at least at this time. Or should we go ahead and start the 1st of October? This is what we would like to know. You let us have your thoughts, and if you can help us to meet our bills. We have there's nothing underwritten at all. We have no wealthy folks underwriting the program. It's a work of faith, but we want to pay our bills. All right, just see the folks at the end of the meeting. I found three verses that have to do with ambassadors. Don't turn to it, but listen to this from Proverbs chapter 13, verse 17. A faithful ambassador is health. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. And then Ephesians chapter 6. Paul says, I want to make known the gospel for which I am an ambassador in bonds. An ambassador in bonds. Then he says to us Christians, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you, that is, the lost world, by us. Be reconciled to God. Now, an ambassador is really a high government official who represents his home government in a foreign court. He does business on behalf of his home government, and he's the liaison man. between his home government and that foreign nation in which he finds himself as a representative. Now, there are many similes. You know what that word means? There are many pictures or illustrations in the scriptures of the child of God. For example, the child of God is sometimes likened to an athlete. Sometimes the Christian is likened to a priest. Sometimes the Christian is described as a pilgrim. Sometimes the Christian is likened to a farmer. Sometimes the Christian is likened to a fisherman. Oh, yes, a fisherman. Sometimes the Christian is likened to a soldier. And here, the Christian is likened to an ambassador. Now, there are a number of very interesting correspondences between the responsibility of an ambassador and a child of God. And I want to think with you this morning of our responsibility of as Christians, and then I want to explain as simply as God enables me how you too, if you're not a born-again Christian, can become one before you leave the chapel this morning and thus become an ambassador for Christ. No ambassador is self-appointed. That's right. Now, in many areas of life, we choose our own vocation. A young fellow graduates from school and says, I think I could be a tradesman. Very good. Or he may say, I'm going in for one of the professions. I could be a dentist. I elect to be a lawyer or whatever. But no one ever said, well, I choose to be an ambassador of the United States of America on a foreign strand. This is unthinkable. No ambassador is, for a moment, self-appointed. He's appointed by someone else. And this is exactly the position of the child of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, in John 17, that great high priestly prayer, the Lord Jesus Christ said, as thou, Father, hast sent me into the world, even so, I also sent them into the world. I think I understand what he means. He himself had come personally to our planet as God's representative. As God's representative, so that men looked on the Savior and they saw God. He said to one of his followers, he that has seen me has seen the Father. He came to declare, to manifest the character of God himself. And this is why we have four Gospels in the New Testament, in order that we might have four views of the Lord Jesus as heaven's chosen sent one, or apostle, or ambassador. But then, he died. He rose, and then he disappeared. Before he went away, he said, just as I have been sent into the world to represent God, so I'm sending you men and you women to represent me. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. So that the Christian's responsibility here is primarily to represent his master. That's why Paul says in this great passage, 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors for Christ. And just as no ambassador is self-appointed, no ambassador supports himself. He's supported by his home government. The ambassador of Canada to Washington, the ambassador of the United States to France or Australia receives all of his supplies from his home government. All of them. The house in which he lives, the embassy, the car that he drives, the wages of his chauffeur, his secretary, his ambassadorial staff, all of these are supplied from his home government. What would you think? If the ambassador of the United States to Italy were to be so impoverished that he'd have to take his place on the street corner every morning with a little tin cup and a sign saying, please help the United States of America. I'm sure, my friend, that you and I would be tremendously humiliated. We'd say, what a reflection this is upon Washington. And of course, we'd be right. The Christian supplies come from above. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't leave his ambassadors here in this world in order that they might be sort of religious mendicants or beggars going around and calling on the world's crowd to help out the living God. I believe, my friends, that the work of the Lord should be supplied by the voluntary contribution of his people without whining and beggary. I do not believe, friends, that the church should go to the world and ask the world to help out the Lord with their tips and contributions and so on. I believe that this reflects upon the greatness and the generosity and the all-sufficiency of the God who supplies the need of his people. Paul said to the Philippians, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And the church is to be independent of the world and yet very dependent upon headquarters. You see, everything that we have as Christians comes from headquarters. The salvation that we enjoy this morning comes from the living Lord at God's right hand, from the man with the wounded hands and feet and sides, wounds that he received in deepest love and in deepest humiliation when he bled for us upon the cross. That salvation is dispensed for us and to us by that living Christ. The power by which we live comes from above. The Holy Spirit comes from above as a living person who indwells every born-again believer. The new life, the new nature comes from above. And all our supplies, whether they're spiritual or material, comes from headquarters itself. The ambassador, then, does not support himself. Nor is he dependent upon the government or the country in which he lives. His supplies come from those who appoint him. Then again, no ambassador belongs to the country. He doesn't vote. He doesn't take part in the politics of the country. The ambassador there is in that country, but in a sense he's not of it. For instance, in every foreign city today, of any size, there is an American colony or a British colony. You can go to Bombay. You can go to Calcutta. You can go to Singapore. You can go to Hong Kong. And you'll find a colony of individuals who all speak the same language, who enjoy the same background and culture, and who have a common citizenship. Now, an ambassador who is in a foreign country is, in one sense, he's an integral part of it. In another sense, he's a stranger and a foreigner. And this is how the living Lord views his people, after all. Peter writes, for example, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, and he says, I beseech you, therefore, as strangers and pilgrims, that you abstain from flesh and lust that war against the soul. He describes the Christian there as a stranger and as a pilgrim. What's the difference between the two? Well, a stranger is a man who's away from home, and a pilgrim is a man who's on his way home. And this precisely describes the child of God. He's a stranger and a pilgrim, and the old Negro spiritual is right. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My hope is far away, beyond the glittering blue. So that the child of God is in the world, and yet he's not of the world. The church's mission, unless my concept is entirely wrong, the church's mission is primarily, friends, a spiritual mission. It's not a political mission. It's not, my friends, in this world for social betterment. It's not here to clean up the world's dirty politics or the world's social ills. Now, granted, friends, there's a dire need for social uplift. If there was ever a day when our society needs to be purged and cleansed and purified and refined and uplifted, it's the present hour. But after all, let me remember this, that the Bible envisages today, in the main, two societies. One is a non-Christian society, a pagan world. The other is the Church of God. And brethren, everything outside the Church of God today is a mission field. We have an artificial differentiation between the home missionary and the foreign missionary. And maybe it's lawful. Let me not criticize that distinction. A home missionary and a foreign missionary. The foreign missionary, of course, is the missionary that's across a body of water somewhere in a foreign country. But after all, everything outside the church, the body of Christ, the aggregate of all who have been born again, everything outside of that is really a mission field and really a pagan world. We're living in a pagan society. Oh, I know it has a Christian veneer. I'm not overlooking the fact that the society in which we live in this country is, in a nominal sense, a Christian society. Praise God, it's not a Mohammedan society, it's not a Hindu society, it's not a pagan society in the sense that we bow down to stocks and stones and so on. People have a nominal knowledge of the living Christ, and they pay lip service to Christianity. But my friends, when you scratch away the veneer, you get down under, and you find there's the rotten wood underneath the surface. Sometimes I feel that the varnish is getting mighty, mighty thin, and the real rottenness is manifesting itself there with increasing persistence. An ambassador, then, is one who is in the world and yet not of the world. Even in the Old Testament, we read in Hebrews chapter 11 that those who were true children of faith back there were simply, I'm going to read it to you. Listen. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that speak such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And then it says, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had come out, they might have had an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. You see the idea? So that the ambassador doesn't take part in the doings, he doesn't belong to the country where he serves. And then another thing, an ambassador's chief business is to represent his home country. That's right. He does business on behalf of the home government. He represents it. When he speaks, he doesn't speak as a man. He speaks officially with the backing of his home government. Of course, he has to be in communication constantly with the home government so that he can speak intelligently and he can speak with certainty. So he represents his home government. And this calls, my friends, for a certain standard of conduct. I remember reading years ago that the American ambassador to Austria, many years ago, was a confirmed alcoholic, a drunkard. And this poor man often appeared in public under the influence of liquor. You know the effect of that? The effect was that thousands and thousands of people in Austria came up with the wrong conclusion that all Americans were drunkards. This is a fact. They concluded, because they saw that man, they said, well, that's American. They're all drunkards. Sometimes I think we're moving in that direction. But thank God it hasn't become true yet. But you see what I'm trying to say? The world or the court looks on that ambassador, and they get their impression of the home government from the way he conducts himself, his protocol, his conduct, his attitudes, his approaches. For he doesn't live to himself. The Christian is in a world that cast out and rejected his Lord. We are here, my friends, to represent a living Christ, whom the world cannot see, and yet the world should see in the conduct of you and of me. We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message, written in deed and word. What if the type is crooked? What if the page is blurred? What about that? Are we in touch with our Lord, getting our instructions from him through his word, and then living a life that will represent and reflect his glory? How about it, child of God? Have people been seeing Christ in your conduct and my behavior during the past week? My words, my attitudes, in business, in public life, as well as in my family life? And he searches. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, be ye reconciled to God. What about our conduct? A dear friend, in a northern city, told us a while ago, he said in our chapel recently, we had a couple of girls sing a duet. And he said it was beautiful to hear them. He said they sang that beautiful song, Take My Life and Let It Be, Consecrated Lord to Thee, Take My Moments and My Days, Let Them Be Filled with Ceaseless Praise. He said, we were impressed. I was impressed. You're a leading, intelligent man. A
Until he said a week later, he said, I happened to be walking down the main street and I saw those two same girls lined up to go into a theater. And he said, it came to me with such a shock. And he said, I heard their words ringing in my ears, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And then this kind of conduct later. I believe, my friends, that this is very inconsistent for the child of God. I do not believe that any born-again child of God should support theaters. I'm dead against it. Listen, my friends, if you do, you're supporting adulterers, an adulterer. You're supporting, my friends, a traffic that nullifies not only Christianity very often, but even all moral standards as well. I do not believe, my friends, that your testimony will stand for God if you indulge in worldliness and such practices as that. You know, I was struck with Billy Graham's very outspoken message on separation in last month's decision. May I share it with you? You think some of you people think I'm a bit of a crank on some of these things. Listen to what Billy Graham says. All three American television networks and hundreds of independent stations are now frantically searching for motion pictures. The ratings indicate that motion pictures outpull all other types of programs. The television industry is almost out of movies, great movies. It's reaching at the bottom of the barrel and is giving the American public a view of violence, sadism, and sex right in our living room. Such pictures as Never on Sunday, Tom Jones, and Blow Up are shown as family entertainment. Motion pictures are being televised that only art theaters would show a few months ago. This departure of the television industry from the accepted code and customs of the past poses a serious moral problem for the Christian. The Bible teaches that the Christian is to be in the world, but not of the world. Yet thousands of Christian parents are caught up in a dilemma, finding themselves and their children feeding upon the violence and sex thrust right into their homes by the television screen. It takes discipline to get up and turn off the television in the midst of fascinating programs. Many Christian parents are giving up the struggle. In 2 Corinthians 6:17, Paul writes, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Relatively few clergymen today preach sermons on the subject of separation. Yet throughout the New Testament, both in the Gospels and the Epistles, we are taught that as Christians we are to be separated from the evils of this present world. Separation is spoken of in the Bible as twofold. First, it means to be opposed to whatever is contrary to the mind of God, and second, it is unto God himself. The Bible teaches further that we are to be separated from false teachers, who are described in 2 Timothy as vessels of dishonor. Then he goes on to say this, Christ meant that this distinctiveness was to be maintained by the people who followed him in every age. Those who espouse the new morality and situation ethics claim that passages such as the one from Paul's 2 Corinthian letter, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing, do not apply today. That they were written to those who were surrounded by idols, by temples in which the worst immorality was practiced. Since those days, some of these people argue the world has changed. Or let there be no doubt about it, the world is just as pagan in spirit today as it was 20 centuries ago, and even more so. There are acts of barbarism today that have shocked even pagan Rome. Today the world worships actresses and actors, sports celebrities, success and wealth, and there's little place for God. The motion picture theater and the nightclub have become the sanctuary of millions, where they live in an atmosphere which is essentially and actually hostile to God. And to a large extent, the church has been merged with it. It's now lusting after position, political power, possession, and having gained these things has not been slow to use the carnal instruments of the world to retain them. And then I think he rightly says this. I'm convinced that only the separated Christian, the man who is out and out for Christ, the man who refuses to compromise in matters of vital and eternal importance, is bearing an effective witness for Christ today. You cannot serve the world and Christ. You cannot serve God and mammon. You must make a deliberate choice. I'm asking you today to make Christ Lord of every department of your life. And I say amen to Billy Graham, and I thank God for that. The Bible insists on our living a life that's distinctive, especially in view of the high dignity which is ours. We are ambassadors for Christ. And then, notice something else. No insult to an ambassador is regarded as personal. No insult to an ambassador is regarded as personal. The ambassador to the United States was assassinated in Guatemala last week. This, my friends, takes on high and great importance. It's not just an ordinary citizen. It's the ambassador that shot. Poured paint on his car. Stole the embassy. Burned down the home in which he lives. Is an attack, an affront, not to the man personally, but to the government that he represents. I think, friends, don't you, that this is what the Lord had in mind when he said to Saul of Tarsus that day on the road to Damascus, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Me? Saul of Tarsus might have said, Lord, I'm not arguing with you. I'm against these wretched Christians down here. The Lord said, listen, you can't touch them without touching me. As I said on Wednesday night, he was persecuting the body on earth, and the head in heaven cried out. So every time I injure a child of God, every time the world persecutes a child of God, he's really attacking the one whom that child of God represents. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. So we represent, beloved Christian, the highest court in the universe. We represent our God. We represent God's Christ in North Palm Beach, in Louisiana Beach, in Palm Beach, wherever we live, we're ambassadors for Christ. Again, let me learn the lesson. An ambassador may be recalled. He may be recalled. His conduct may be of such a character that his home government may recall him and replace him. In the case of execution before a firing squad. But it's a demotion. He's recalled because he is not adequately representing his home government. You remember what Paul said to the Corinthians? Because of their abuses of the Lord's Supper, because of their excessive carnality, Paul said this, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. In other words, the Lord had come into that Corinthian church and taken some of those Corinthians home to heaven in disgrace. It's not, my friend, a case of delegating a child of God to the lake of fire, but it's taking them out of the world of testimony because he can't trust them in the place of public witness. The ambassador is recalled. This frightens me, friend. This frightens me. I believe that many Christians die before their time because of misconduct here. The Lord says, come on home. You're bringing disgrace upon my name by the way you live. An ambassador may be recalled. And then finally, this observation. Under certain circumstances, when an ambassador is recalled, it's the last move of his home government, and it's tantamount to a declaration of war. Did you hear what I said? When there are strains between countries and between nations, and those strains reach the breaking point, the last thing, the home government recalls the ambassador. And then, friends, that may be the prelude to the booming of the artillery. Do you know this? that there's coming a moment when the Lord Jesus is going to take all of his ambassadors home to heaven. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and then quoting, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And when the church is raptured to heaven, my brother, my sister, I believe that heaven's heavy artillery will go into action. I believe the great tribulation in all of its horrors, this time of unprecedented outpouring of wrath, will take place. And then men will call on the rocks and the mountains to hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for their sake. The great day of his wrath is coming. Who is able to stand? The word of God is filled with storm warnings concerning this time, my friends, of unparalleled tribulation, anguish, and wrath and judgment. This will follow the recall of all the ambassadors home to heaven. In the meantime, we're left here to represent our Lord. We have a message. And what, Paul, is the message you're talking about? Listen, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, being reconciled to God. It's a word of peace. It's a word of reconciliation. And then he goes on, and he explains in the next verse what he means by this. For he says this, for God hath made Christ to be sin for us, him whom you know sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Does this mean, Paul, are you saying this, that God treated Christ on that cross as though he should have treated me? That's right. He treated his dear son on that cross as he should have treated me. He treated him with unmixed judgment. But now, God treats me as he treats Christ. All my demerits, all my demerits were credited to the Lord Jesus on the cross in order that all his merits might be credited to me when I just take my place as unworthy and receive him as my Lord and Savior. Did you get it? It's as simple as that. God has made Christ to be sin for us, him whom you know sin, that's the cross, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's why, my friend, I say, praise God. What a dignity. What a dignity. What a message. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Have you been reconciled to God today? This is not a matter of joining some church. This is not a matter of being baptized or giving something or doing something. This is a case, my friends, of coming and saying to the living God, I surrender. I bow my will to the authority of Christ in my life, the Christ who died for me on the cross yesterday. And to hear him say, I gave my life for thee. My precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom thee and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? Let's pray together. O God, our Father, we thank thee for the high and glorious dignity that thou hast conferred upon thy people by making us heaven's ambassadors in a foreign court. We pray thee this morning that those of us who know thee as our God and Christ as our living Savior may go away from this meeting with a holy determination to live up to this dignified responsibility in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thou hast not only reconciled us to thyself, but thou hast committed unto us the word of reconciliation, making us ambassadors for Christ. We thank thee for it. Lord, if there should be some here this morning who have never been reconciled to thee by the cross, we pray thee that such may get this matter settled this morning and enter into peace with thee. For Christ's sake, we pray. Amen.